This conference will now be recorded.
Good afternoon. It's 5 p.m. Tuesday, June the 8th, 2021. We'll call City Council meeting into session. The first item on the meeting agenda is the invocation. I'll give the invocation, and Pledge of Allegiance will be led by Councilmember Nicholas. Join us if you'd like.
Join me. Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag
of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Honor.
On the Texas flag, I pledge allegiance to the city of Texas, one state, under God, one indivisible.
Next item on the agenda is the roll call. Spencer H. Smith, Mayor, is present. Michael Blomquist, Mayor Pro Tem.
Michael Blomquist, Mayor Pro Tem, is present.
Okay, thank you. Jennifer McCann, Place 1.
Jennifer McCann, Place 1, present.
Thank you. Jacqueline Soriano Fontaine, Place 3.
This is Jacqueline Soriano Fontaine, Place 3, present.
Thank you. Linda Nash, Place 4.
Linda Nash, Place 4, present.
Thank you. Jody Nicholas, Place 5.
Jody Nicholas, Place 5, present.
Okay, thank you. City Manager David Mitchell.
City Manager David Mitchell, present.
Okay, thank you. City Secretary Julie Helsham.
City Secretary Julie Helsham, present.
Okay, thank you. And we have all council members present, and we do have a quorum. Okay. Mayoral proclamations and presentations, I see none.
That's correct,
okay,
Mayor.
Okay, thank you. Next item number 5. Number 1, discuss and consider approving the minutes of the meeting held on May 25th, 2021. Take the appropriate action. Councilmember Fontaine.
Thank you, Mayor. This is Jacqueline Soriano Fontaine, Place 3. I would like to move that we approve the minutes as written.
Okay, thank you. Mayor Pro Tem Blomquist.
This is Michael Blomquist, Mayor Pro Tem. I'll second that.
Okay, thank you. We have a motion and a second. Any further discussion on the item? Seeing none, I poll the council. Michael Blomquist, Mayor Pro Tem, how do you vote?
It's Michael Blomquist, Mayor Pro Tem. I vote yes.
Okay, thank you. Jennifer McCann, Place 1, how do you vote?
It's Jennifer McCann, Place 1. I vote yes.
Okay, thank you. Jacqueline Soriano Fontaine, Place 3, how do you vote?
This is Jacqueline Soriano Fontaine, Place 3. I vote yes.
Okay, thank you. Linda Nash, Place 4, how do you vote?
Linda Nash, Place 4. I vote yes.
Okay, thank you. And Jody Nicholas, Place 5, how do you vote?
Jody Nicholas, Place 5. I vote yes.
Okay, thank you. And the motion passes unanimously 5-0. Next item is item number 6, presentation by citizens. Number 1, receive a presentation by Thomas A. Mazzara regarding the promotion of tennis programs citywide, future exposure, program funding, and revitalization of said sport. Yes, sir. If you just please come to the podium there, state your name and your address for the record, please.
Yes, my name is Thomas Mazzara. I live at 2024 Harold Drive in Harker Heights, Texas.
Okay, thank you. Please go ahead.
I appreciate the time that you guys have given me here today. I have recently moved here in January 2020, so definitely a good time. However, I do love my place where I am now. I am a tennis professional, currently director of adult tennis over at Central Texas Athletic Club. It has previously been known as Peloton Ridge Country Club. This club is a staple of Harker Heights that has been kept hidden away for a long time. It has been created in 1996, I believe. Forgive me for the incorrect date if there is one. My plan what I'm looking for from the council here today is from the Parks and Rec Department for their 10-year master plan, where it was started out in March of 2020, and it extends to March 2030 of the same year, same month, excuse me. In this plan, we are looking for more improvements towards our tennis and our community, a further outreach and implementation to allow our youth and adults to participate in a lifetime sport. Given certain current circumstances during COVID pandemic, we have been allowed to open up our facilities and enjoy such a recreational sport. My current goal, and it is supported through my junior director, director of juniors, Sam Kwok, who has been a local resident of Killeen, Texas, for the majority of his life. I played tennis since I was 11 years old, currently 32, turning 33. I've aspired to play professionally through professional tennis coaches who have been in the professional field for many, many years. They are masters of tennis by USTA regulation and have been recognized worldwide through major tournaments as Wimbledon, French Open, and many more. Today's my plan is to promote, again, tennis to our community. I have currently implemented multiple, promotions to our middle school tennis. I am currently offering free middle school tennis to any youth that is available. My partner and I, we have increased the utilization of tennis courts at our facility. And again, I am not promoting our facility, but I am promoting our tennis programs. Throughout the years, we are looking at no improvements towards our tennis. There is none. There is zero scheduled court buildings, renewals, and any further implementation towards this sport. We have visited multiple middle schools, many that have reasonable courts, many that have already been turned into multi-use basketball courts. We have visited schools that have been playing tennis for over 10 years with the same coach, and they have received one player this year. During those times, I look back to my youth, and I can only further myself to stand up and promote such a, I don't want to say a travesty, but it is, to me, I cannot stand to see my favorite sport, a sport that taught me many multiple skills, to go to waste. In this Parks and Rec Master Plan, every 5 years, it is expected to increase one Parks and Rec Center every 5 years. There is supposed to be 12 soccer fields every 5 years, 8 baseball fields every 5 years. Again, nothing towards tennis. The one thing I ask again the council is to be able to help support myself and my director of juniors in this mission to bring tennis, a lifetime sport, to our community. In this time, I ask a proposal for a grant or a foundation that we may be able to support our youth and its tennis coaches. Thank you for your time.
Okay, we can't go back and forth on this. We'll take your presentation. City manager's here, and our director of Parks and Recreation is here, and we'll be able to communicate with you further, okay?
By all means, I really appreciate you guys.
Thank you, sir. Thank you for your presentation.
Of course.
Next item under presentations by citizens is number two, and I'll go ahead and lead in because the changing in the technology that we have is that the remote folks have an audio only that will not be able to respond to you. People that are here in the council, that if they want to make a presentation by citizens, that will receive that. And I'll go ahead and go through the paragraph here. Citizens who desire to address the council on any matter may do so during this item. Please understand that while the council appreciates hearing your comments, state law, Texas Government Code, Section 551.042, prohibits them from, one, engaging in discussion other than providing a statement of specific factual information or reciting existing city policy, and two, taking action other than directing staff to place the matter on a future agenda. Please state your name and address for the record and limit your comments to 3 minutes. And City Secretary, I see we didn't have any green sheets for any citizens at all.
We did not.
Okay. Is there anyone, any citizens in the council chambers right now that would like to address the council? Okay, hearing none, we'll move on. Next item is item 7, public hearings. I see none.
That's correct, Mayor.
Okay, thank you. Next item is number 8, old business. I see none.
That's correct.
Okay, thank you. Next item is item number 9, new business number 1. Discuss and consider approving a request for a preliminary plat approval for the subdivision referred to as the Enclave at Indian Trail on property described as a 16.92-acre land, tract of land situated in the W.E. Hall Survey, abstract number 1086, and the J.M. Roberts Survey, abstract number 3, and being all of the called 2.980-acre tract of land described in a deed to Terra Azul Developments, LLC, recorded in instrument number 201-300-048-431, deed records of Bell County, Texas. All of the called 7.971-acre tract of land described in a deed to Terra Azul Developments, LLC, recorded in instrument number 201-300-048-422, deed records of Bell County, Texas. All of the parcel 1 called 3.003-acre tract of land described in a deed to Terra Azul Developments, LLC, recorded in instrument number 201-300-048-429, deed records of Bell County. All of the parcel 2 called 2.649-acre tract of land described in a deed to Terra Azul Developments, LLC, recorded in instrument number 201-300-048-429, deed records of Bell County, Texas, and a part of Lot 1, Block 1, Pat Kern Subdivision, recorded in Cabinet D, Slide 185-A, Plat Records of Bell County, Texas, generally located east of Indian Trail, FM 3423, directly behind Harker Heights Central Fire Station, Harker Heights, Bell County, Texas, and take the appropriate action. Planning and Development Director.
Thank you, Mayor and Council. That was a whole lot of legal description there.
Well, and I thought we were done with that when Brooke Roberts left.
So before you tonight on the location map here, that's on your screen, you can see all of those different parcels that were pieced together to make this particular subdivision. That results in 16.92 acres of vacant land just east of Indian Trail. The next slide shows our street view of the two locations of where the roadways will tap through and connect to Indian Trail. Before you tonight for the preliminary plat, the subdivision now consists of 37 residential duplex lots, which is one more than what was presented in the concept plan. This is allowed because it's underneath the 10% deviation, and so it does meet our requirements. On March 9th, you may recall that the City Council considered the concept plan known as the Enclave at Indian Trail, and also approved a plan development residential zoning amendment for that same parcel, the same development. That particular PDR had the 18 conditions that you have on this slide before you, as well as the next. Those items that are crossed out on this slide and the next slide are items that no longer apply due to the realignment of the roadways and the different configuration of the lots. And so we did want to call that to your attention, that those particular conditions that were placed on them by this body no longer apply and were not going to be applied to this case. The next slide. Again, just a summary. I will ask you to take note of item number 17, where we did allow for some lot width deviation from the 70-foot minimum width for a particular roadway, and those were on the cul-de-sac and on the little knuckle there within the development, and just keep that in mind as we go through to the illustrations. So the illustrations we have here, the arrows point to some differences between the concept plan and the preliminary plat that you are considering tonight. On the left is the concept plan, and on the right is your preliminary plat. The big one you can see is the orange arrow, and that is that southern connection to Indian Trail. TxDOT did approve that southern connection after all, and so that requirement for that connection will be per our regular city standards. With the exception is that we've allowed a portion of that to be down to the 56-foot right-of-way per the zoning case that was heard back in May. The blue arrow, or I guess it's kind of like a light blue, points to a lot that is no longer part of this subdivision. You may recall that that was the lot we said could face sideways and not the road. That is no longer the case. So all of these residential units will face the roadways. The purple arrow points to some deviation there at the cul-de-sac. You can see the realignment of the cul-de-sac as well as the shape of those particular lots. Of particular importance is your connection to Track 2, which is dedicated to the city for that floodway and floodplain that's to the rear of this, or to the east of this development. And we'll get a better picture of that here in just a moment. Another item was the realignment of the roadway, and that's kind of what that green arrow was pointing at. You can see there's a different curvature in the road, and the lots up at the northern knuckle of the road are a little bit different shaped, and so they come into closer compliance with what our regular code of ordinances requires. The next slide, we have those particular areas that may be of particular interest to you. The yellow being those tracts of land that are being dedicated to the city. You may recall that Tract 1 was being dedicated to the city not for drainage purposes, but for extension purposes, for beneficial use to the fire department or as a city sees fit. And the yellow to the east or to the right of the page is that drainage track that I mentioned earlier. And you can see the connectivity there at the bulb. So it does allow for some access through there, and that'll have to be something that we look at in the city in the future as far as how we handle and control that particular access. The blue items are dedicated drainage easements that were not part of the original concept plan, so we did want to bring those to your attention, as well as the green easements. Those particular green easements that you have on the page allow for some realignment of existing sewer services. You may recall that the sewer services in this area that service those commercial entities up on Indian Trail, they were like spaghetti and spider webs all through there without any type of easement. So the developer will be putting those within an easement and getting access to those tracks and providing proper connection. So it'll clean up a little bit of the issues that we have down in that area. Now, the one item that is a little bit different, and remember I asked you to recall those particular lots that didn't have the 70-foot average lot width. Lots 1 and 2 of this preliminary plat have the red box on them. The buildable area that's north of that red box is sufficient enough to build the duplex lots for the development that's being proposed on them. However, they do not meet the 70-foot average requirement because they are more of a pie-shaped. So those back measurements for the rear of the lot are very narrow. And so it does give them about a 60-foot average width, but the front part, there's plenty of ample room there. So that decision is at your discretion tonight, whether or not you would like to provide that, or if you would like to provide an alternate condition with your motion. So moving on, we did, as of May 18th, the applicant has adequately addressed the majority of staff's comments. Those that are outstanding can be handled during the construction plan review as well as the final plat. Though they are items that require much more engineering and in-depth requirement, or evaluation, and are not a requirement of our preliminary plat submittal process at this time. So we felt that they were important to call out during the reviews, but they've answered it sufficiently enough that we can move on and leave the details to the next step. During the Planning and Zoning Commission on May 26, 2021, the commission voted 7-0 to approve this preliminary plat. So with that, I'm available for questions, and I believe the applicant is here as well.
OK, Okay, thank you. And Council, any questions for the Planning Director? Mayor Pro Tem Blomquist.
Thank you, Mayor. This is Michael Blomquist, Mayor Pro Tem. Christina, on the a couple questions here. On Watercourse Drive and then on Enclave Boulevard, it's hard to tell from the schematic there. Are there sidewalks that go all the way back up to the main road from there?
So they did submit in the sidewalk plan that does include sidewalks the entire way of the subdivision.
So that goes all the way back out, exiting the back, yes, you know, so they could walk across the street to the school there if the people have kids.
So the crossing of the actual roadway will have to be coordinated with TxDOT. At this time, I do not know of any allowed crosswalks mid-block like that.
So that would be something we need to be thinking about, you know, if this development goes in, is that correct? Then?
Correct.
Okay. My other question was, at the P&Z meeting, was there any discussions on lot 1 and 2 on what their recommendations or what they thought would be adequate to meet the needs there?
So when P&Z did their discussions, they did talk a little bit about the average width of the other lots and how some of those other lots now have the proper width. And they felt that, or they expressed that these two lots were going to be okay with the ultimate design of the subdivision, and they did approve it as it was submitted.
Okay, so they didn't recommend any changes at all then?
They did not.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, Councilmember Nicholas.
Thank you, Mayor. That was actually my question. I was going to ask about the red area that you have in there, and it seems like it's almost half the size of that entire lot.
They are very long lots. Those particular ones, and I apologize, I don't have that particular length measured, but they are able to meet their lot area requirements just in that little portion.
Really?
Above the red.
Okay.
So that it is a very deep lot.
Okay, well, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Councilmember Fontaine.
Thank you, Mayor. This is Councilmember Jacqueline Soriano Fontaine, Place 3. I just wanted to ask, and it's probably more to the contractor or developer, are those lots going to be less expensive than the regular lots due to them being smaller?
I would have to leave that to the applicant.
Okay. Sir, just please state your name and your address for the record, please.
Joseph Terrio with Republic Engineering, 3803 Canyon Heights Road, Belton.
Okay. And do you want to restate your question?
Yes, sir. The question is on the lots 1 and 2, since they're going to be smaller, is the cost of those duplex going to be less for the residents that decide to buy them?
I'm not exactly sure on what the final lot price will be. But as far as just being in doing this for a little while, they may actually be of a little more value because you're going to have a bigger backyard with those lots. The build line for those lots is where the red box starts, on the northern side of that red box. If you look at a normal lot in that area, when you look at their front and rear build lines, they're the same as those lots 1 and 2. The widths are very similar. So really, those lots, you would just get a lot more yard out of it and have, you know, more room and all the benefits of that go with it, as well as a longer fence to maintain. But other than that, I wouldn't see them being less valuable than any other lot in the development.
Okay. Good. Thank you, sir. Any other questions from the council on this item? Okay. It's new business. Do I have a motion? Councilmember Fontaine.
Thank you, Mayor. This is Jacqueline Soriano Fontaine, Place 3, and I would like to move that we approve the request for a plenary plat approved for the subdivision referred to as the Enclave at Indian Trail on property described as 16.92 acre tracts of land situated in the W.E. Hall survey as tract number 1086 and the J. M. Roberts survey as tract number 3, and being all of the call 2.980 acre tract of land described in a deed to Terra Azul Developments LLC, recorded in instrument number 201300048431. Deed records of Bell County, Texas, all of the call 7.971 acre tracts of land described in a deed to Terra Azul Development LLC, recorded in instrument number 201300484222. Deed records of Bell County, Texas, all of the parcel one called 3.003 acre tract to land described in a deed to Terra Azul Development LLC, recorded in instrument number 20130004829, deed records of Bell County, Texas. All of the parcel two, called 2.649 acres tract of land, described in a deed to Terra Azul Development LLC, recorded in instrument number 20130048429, deed records of Bell County, Texas, and a part of Lot 1, Block 1, Pat Kern Subdivision, recorded in Cabinet D, Slide 185-Alpha Plate, Plat Records of Bell County, Texas, generally located east of Indian Trail, FM 3423, directly behind Harker Heights Central Fire Station, Harker Heights, Bell County, Texas.
Good. Thank you very much. Do I have a second? Okay, we have a second from Councilmember McCann.
I'll take the easy part. I'd like to second that, Mayor.
Okay, thank you. I'm glad that somebody spoke up, so that's good. Okay, we have a motion and a second. Any further discussion on the item? Mayor Pro Tem Blomquist.
This is Michael Blomquist, Mayor Pro Tem. Not to be a stickler, but you did miss a zero on the last instrument number. It was 20130048429.
Okay, everybody okay with that?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. All right, we have a motion and a second. Any further discussion on the item? Okay, I'll poll the council. Michael Blomquist, Mayor Pro Tem, how do you vote?
This is Michael Blomquist, Mayor Pro Tem. I vote yes.
Okay, thank you. Jennifer McCann, place one. How do you vote?
This is Jennifer McCann, place one. I vote yes.
Okay, thank you. Jacqueline Soriano-Fontaine, place three. How do you vote?
This is Jacqueline Soriano-Fontaine, place three. I vote yes.
Okay, thank you. Linda Nash, place four. How do you vote?
Linda Nash, place four. I vote yes.
Okay, thank you. And Jody Nicholas, place five. How do you vote?
Jody Nicholas, place five. I vote yes.
Okay, thank you. Motion passes unanimously, 5-0. Next item under new business, item number two, discuss and consider approving the waiver of interest on liens in the amount of $5,389.37 on property known as 1416 Shoshone Trail, Harker Heights, Bell County, Texas, and take the appropriate action. City Manager.
Thank you, Mayor and Council. The property known as 1416 Shoshone was purchased by Jeff Lackmire of Lackmire Construction, LLC, at a sheriff's sale for delinquent taxes on the property. Mr. Lackmire cleared the overgrown property, subdivided the property, and built two structures on the property. Recently, in looking at selling one of the structures, the city's liens on the property were discovered. The city has issued 9 liens on the property prior to Mr. Lackmire's purchase of the property, the last being in 2018. The 9 liens total $2,390 in value, and with interest are now valued at a little bit less than $8,000. Mr. Lackmire requested that the interest be removed from the liens on the lot in 2016, but council denied that request, and so he did not purchase the property. He later acquired the lot at a sheriff's sale, at which time the liens were assumed to be wiped from the books per the title company. In reviewing the sale document, it is the city's attorney's position that the document did not clear the city's liens in this case. The two structures that Mr. Lackmire has constructed on the properties are valued at $308,000 and $344,000 respectively in 2021. And taxes on the property equate to about $7,100 on one and almost $8,000 on the other. City taxes on those are a little over $2,000 and then a little over $2,300 in 2021 alone. Staff supports waiving the interest on all city liens on the property to the principal amount of $2,390. Council, I think these lots are critical, getting these lots back into some type of production. You see what it does for us here. I mean, we had a lots that we were amassing mowing liens on and clearing liens on for years. And here we have a developer that purchased them and built two structures. And you can see the return to the city adds up quickly over time on that. Again, my hope is that other companies such as Mr. Lackmire's will continue to invest in our community and find these types of lots and get them into a more productive setting. And in your attachments, Council, you do have the list of liens. You can see those there. All of them are for high grass, weeds, and cleaning over time and the associated interest with that, as well as there are a couple photos there, Council, of the structures. Actually, the top photo shows you what it looked like prior to Mr. Lackmire's construction before he cleared the lots, and the bottom ones show what it looks like today. With that concludes my presentation, Council. I'll be happy to answer any questions that you have.
Okay, thank you. Mayor Pro Tem Blomquist.
Thank you, Mayor. This is Michael Blomquist, Mayor Pro Tem. David, what just, I mean, I'm really happy to see these things turn around and get redeveloped, but what bothers me about this is that when we have a statement in here that says the liens were assumed to be wiped from the books per the title company, isn't that the responsibility of the title company then if they allow a sale to go through like that to cover the losses?
They still hold today that they feel like they're wiped clean. It's our attorney's opinion looking at it that it's not.
When you say assumed, that's not a legal term that you would normally stand up in a court and defend.
Correct. And I'm not, again, we're not in a courtroom today.
Oh, so I know we're not. But
assumed is probably my word in relation to this. I mean, they are very adamant. They have been contacting the city, them being the title company, saying that the liens have been wiped off of there. Again, the review of the document by our city attorney, he does not think that they are. They continue to hold that they are. So again, I did use the word assumed in there.
Okay, so that's not their legal term that they were using.
No,
back
no,
it is.
No.
Okay. So what can we do to prevent something like this occurring in the future then?
Some sheriff sales, it is true that the actions that are taken do wipe away our liens. We have those occur. I mean, as Aisha and I know, we get those in where they've been cleared off due to delinquent taxes, and we're a distant lien holder, so we end up losing out on those. I'm not sure why in this case it did not get wiped off, but it did not. Again, in this case, Mr. Lackmeyer and I have sat down and visited. He is willing to pay for the city's base amount in that, if possible, and asking for the interest to be waived.
Okay.
So the city can recoup our costs.
I mean, I don't really have a problem with waiving the interest, but I'd just like to see something addressed to try to preclude something like this from occurring in the future.
Sure.
All right. Thank you.
Okay. Councilmember Fontaine.
Thank you, Mayor. This is Jacqueline Soriano Fontaine, Place 3. I just want to say, Mr. Lackmeyer, thank you so much for going ahead and taking the risk and developing the property. And I think it's a fair situation that you're asking us to take care of.
Okay. Anything else from the council? Okay. Beyond the council, do I have a motion? Councilmember McCann.
Thank you, Mayor. I'd like to make a motion to approve the waiver of interest on liens in the amount of $5,389.37 on property known as 1416 Shoshone Trail, Harker Heights, Bell County, Texas.
Okay, thank you, Councilmember Nicholas.
I second that, Mayor.
Okay, thank you. We have a motion and a second. Any further discussion on the item? Okay, seeing none, I'll poll the council. Michael Blomquist, Mayor Pro Tem, how do you vote?
This is Michael Blomquist, Mayor Pro Tem. I vote yes.
Okay, thank you. Jennifer McCann, place one. How do you vote?
Jennifer McCann, place one. I vote yes.
Okay, thank you. Jacqueline Soriano Fontaine, place three. How do you vote?
This is Jacqueline Soriano Fontaine, place three. I vote yes.
Okay, thank you. Linda Nash, place four. How do you vote?
Linda Nash, place four. I vote yes.
Okay, thank you. Jody Nicholas, place five. How do you vote?
Jody Nicholas, place five, I vote yes.
Okay, thank you. The motion passes unanimously 5-0. Next item under new business number three. Discuss and consider approving an economic development incentive agreement with Gambit Social House Incorporated, parentheses, Gambit, close parentheses, for the administration of one or more programs for making grants or loans of public money to promote economic development and stimulate business and commercial activities within the city, and authorize the city manager to sign the agreement on behalf of the city and take the appropriate action. City manager.
Thank you, Mayor and Council. Council will recall we recently had a closed session on this very issue, and so tonight this is brought back for you for action based on our discussions in our closed session. The cumulative amount, Council, if you will flip to the Economic Development Grant Agreement in your packet. The cumulative amount of grant payments to be made under this agreement shall not exceed $150,299. The project improvements that Gambit agrees to construct shall include a 12,000 square foot entertainment venue, which will house a beer tap room, restaurant, 9-hole miniature golf course, 8 escape rooms, and a 400 square foot event space. The project improvements that Gambit agrees to construct shall also include 3 outside axe throwing lanes, beach volleyball facilities, and other games and seating areas on the premise. Council, they do intend to build more than this. Again, this is conservative, but that's what we have listed in here. And again, we try to be conservative throughout this agreement. Gambit agrees to complete construction and placement of the project improvements having a value as described in paragraph 2 below on or before March 31st, 2022. Council, I want to point that out. That's a little different than what we discussed, but after talking with them and looking at the timeline, as many of you had concerns about, they are sliding that date back slightly in order to get that in. So for in consideration of those economic development grants, Gambit agrees to make a minimum investment, again, this is conservative, of $2 million above where the property is valued at today. If you flip to page 2, you see there that Gambit further agrees to employ a staff described as follows: be 35 servers, 15 bartenders, 6 hostesses, 15 cooks, 5 dishwashers, 25 event and game masters, and 6 managers. Again, those are conservative numbers. In discussions with the applicant here, they did feel like they would have additional employees beyond this. So we wanted to go with conservative numbers on that. So in terms of the grants that the city would be issuing, essentially it will be 50% of the city property tax increase that the city receives on these lots due to this development, as well as 50% of the sales taxes over a 5-year period, not to exceed the 150-299 number that we discussed as our maximum payout over those 5 years. So in other words, if in 2 years they achieve that, then the agreement goes away. It terminates at that point. So whenever they hit that number, that's the magic number. If for some reason they do not hit it in 5 years, it still terminates. And what benefits they got out of it, they got out of it if they don't hit that maximum number. The agreement will end in 5 years or earlier if they hit that number. Do want to refer you, Council, to page 4. Again, want to mention that the construction improvements did get pushed back there in F to March 2022. And again, you see there in H, the cumulative amount of grant payments to be made under this agreement shall not exceed $150,299. And then on page 5, I just want to point out the termination that I mentioned. This agreement terminates and is canceled at the end of the contract term, unless they miss some of these things. So again, you have some performance measures in here. If for some reason they don't perform, the building doesn't get built to $2 million in value, it's a lesser building than what they described to us, things like that, those things would allow you to terminate the agreement. So they have to meet the performance standards that are found in this agreement. So with that, Council, that concludes my presentation. I'll be happy to answer any questions that you might have.
Okay, any questions for the city manager? Again, we had had this in closed session and discussed it in detail, but any further questions for clarification with the city manager? Okay, this new business, do I have a motion? Mayor Pro Tem Blomquist.
Thank you, Mayor. This is Michael Blomquist, Mayor Pro Tem. I'd like to make a motion to approve an economic development incentive agreement with Gambit Social House Incorporated for the administration of one or more programs for making grants or loans of public money to promote economic development and stimulate business and commercial activities within the city, and authorize the city manager to sign the agreement on behalf of the city.
Okay, thank you. Councilmember McCann.
Thank you, Mayor. I'd like to second the motion.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. Any further discussion on the item? Okay, seeing none, I'll poll the council. Michael Blomquist, Mayor Pro Tem, how do you vote?
This is Michael Blomquist, Mayor Pro Tem. I vote yes.
Okay, thank you. Jennifer McCann, place 1, how do you vote?
This is Jennifer McCann, place 1. I vote yes.
Okay, thank you. Jacqueline Soriano Fontaine, place 3, how do you vote?
This is Jacqueline Soriano Fontaine, place 3. I vote yes.
Okay, thank you. Linda Nash, place 4, how do you vote?
Linda Nash, place 4. I vote yes.
Okay, thank you. Jody Nicholas, place 5. How do you vote?
Jody Nicholas, place 5. I vote yes.
Okay, thank you. And the motion passes unanimously 5-0. Next item under new business, number 4. Discuss and consider approving the city manager to sign the updated Bell County Communications Center 911 agreement and take the appropriate action. City manager.
Thank you, Mayor and Council. And Council, this is another item that we've already covered. We covered it in our most recent workshop, so I'm not going to just hit the highlights tonight for you, so I'm not going to go over all the details here, but certainly stop me if you have other questions. Again, this is our 911 center agreement that we have with the other 3 cities as well as Bell County to operate that facility. We're going to start out on page 6 of the agreement, Council. I'm just going to cover some of the significant changes to that. On page 6 of the agreement, of your redlined agreement, you see there under section D, system director, just point out to you again that the county judge shall seek the advice and counsel of the board before making that appointment. Again, before that, we did not have that in here, and so that they could be appointed without any discussion with the board. And so now we do at least have that in there, that the county judge shall seek the advice when they're appointing that director. As well as, I want to point out on page 8, the mayor pointed out a good thing there. I want to bring to your attention. Earlier, I used the abbreviation RBO. That stands for Regulatory Board of Operations, and that is really our technical body. That is our chiefs that they bring the technical side forward to the city managers and the county judge in terms of the way we operate the center. Just want to point out to you on page 8 that it has changed it to 8 members, which is the way it was functioning anyway. I mean, our fire chief and police chief both were attending these meetings, and that's the same for all the other cities, and so we went ahead and just codified it the way it was working rather than having one chief or the other. So both chiefs for each city will be on that Regulatory Board of Operations, or RBO. Page 14, Council, of the agreement. And to me, this is probably the most significant achievement that we got in this revision. That's under F at the top of the page on page 14, member duty to notify of protocol changes. And this goes to that whole issue of events. And if the city decides to change how we do events, this does not tie our hands. As it says here, all members have the right to change, alter, or otherwise modify their respective protocols relating to any matter associated with the operation and response of their first responder agency. So our hands are not tied. We can change those at any time, and any of the entities can. However, with respect to any changes, alterations, or modifications that have the potential to impact event counts attributable to that member, said member shall notify the director within 7 days of any changes, alterations, or modifications, and the director of the center shall then notify all the members within 7 days. And so what it does is it does put us all on alert that if we change something that could change our event counts, that we must report it to the rest of the members that are party to this, so that you can kind of see that coming versus later on getting caught when you get to the budget part and you realize your percentages have changed drastically, which we've had happen. So to me, that's the most significant provision that we got in here, is just a kind of a disclosure provision if you do change events. And Council, that's, to me, is the big highlights. You'll see a lot of changes in the agreement, but really those were just needed to clean it up. This agreement has been with us since 2002, and it was high time that we work on it. We have worked on it probably for a couple years, even on the e-board, to get it to this point. So with that concludes my presentation. I'll be happy to answer any questions that you have.
Okay, Mayor Pro Tem Blomquist.
Thank you, Mayor. This is Michael Blomquist, Mayor Pro Tem. David, on page 14 there, on that paragraph F there, if they notify us, what's the recourse if members don't like it? I mean, is it just saying, yeah, they just have to tell you and then they can count less if they're going to change the numbers the way they count things?
That's correct. Events, again, are how you dispatch, and that's set by our chiefs. Our chiefs will determine how we want our officers dispatched. The comm center does not do that for us. In other words, they'll say we want, if a certain event rises to a certain level, we want an ambulance and a police officer at that event. Again, creating two events on that center. Another city could decide we're okay with just an ambulance being at that particular instance, so it's just going to create one event. The big thing is just letting us all know, at least from a budgetary perspective, it's going to come down to our chiefs who are going to make the call whether we're going to follow along in terms of how we change our events, or if they feel it's unsafe to do so, we'll continue on. But at least for Aisha and I, we'll get a feel for, we're probably fixing to see an increase, and it helps us gauge that a little bit better going into budget season versus getting hit cold that someone pulled back on their events and then we get hit with a big bill at the end.
Okay, because I think another portion of the discussions we had were some of the counting entities were incorporated other bodies like KISD, or they count within Killeen, or they count
That's
within
right.
So there wasn't there, I could see some changes coming potentially in the future if they try to realign to make sure the right people are paying for their services.
Right. I think, and then I know at least in Killeen's situation, they're looking at some subcontracts with like the school district in terms of them paying for their calls. I mean, Killeen will pay for them ultimately at the comm center, but then they'll be reimbursed for the call load that comes out of like KISD. I did talk with our chiefs, and that's not an issue for us. We're not being billed for any other entities here in Heights.
All right, thank you.
Okay, any other questions from the council for the city manager? Okay, I'll bring you back to the council. Do I have a motion? Okay, Councilmember Nicholas.
I make a motion to approve the updated Bell County Communications Center 911 agreement and authorize the city manager to sign on behalf of the city.
Okay, thank you. Councilmember Fontaine.
Thank you, Mayor. This is Jacqueline Soriano Fontaine. Place 3, I would like to second.
Okay, thank you. We have a motion and a second. Any further discussion on the item? Okay, seeing none, I'll poll the council. Michael Blomquist, Mayor Pro Tem, how do you vote?
Yes, Michael Blomquist, Mayor Pro Tem, I vote yes.
Okay, thank you. Jennifer McCann, place 1. How do you vote?
It's Jennifer McCann, place 1. I vote yes.
Okay, thank you. Jacqueline Soriano Fontaine, place 3. How do you vote?
This is Jacqueline Soriano Fontaine, place 3. I vote yes.
Okay, thank you. Linda Nash, place 4. How do you vote?
Linda Nash, place 4. I vote yes.
Okay, thank you. Jody Nicholas, place 5. How do you vote?
Jody Nicholas, place 5. I vote yes.
Okay, thank you. And the motion passes unanimously, 5-0. Next item under new business, number 5. Discuss and consider approving a resolution of the City Council of the City of Harker Heights, Texas, creating the Capital Improvements Advisory Committee and setting forth the rules for and the duties thereof, all in compliance with the impact fee statutes found in Chapter 395 of the Local Government Code, and take the appropriate action. Public Works Director.
Thank you, Mayor. This is Mark Hyde, Public Works Director. On June 1st, 2021, the City Council had a workshop discussion on the requirement to appoint a Capital Improvements Advisory Committee to serve in an advisory capacity to the City Council throughout the impact fee update process. The CIAC will advise the City Council on the land use assumptions, capital improvement plans, and impact fee rates. Staff recommends the City Council appoint the Harker Heights Planning and Zoning Commission for at least one member who is a representative of the real estate development or building industries, which we have Commissioner Shine, who is our real estate representative on the P&Z. And also, the council will also need to appoint an additional member from the Harker Heights extraterritorial jurisdiction. Staff recommends Bobby Hawksworth. Mr. Hawksworth is a former city council member, and he is very familiar with the workings of the city. So staff therefore recommends Mr. Hawksworth fill the membership for the extraterritorial jurisdiction seat. And I'll be glad to answer any questions for you.
Thank you, Mr. Trident. Any questions from the council? Mayor Pro Tem Blomquist.
Thank you, Mayor. This is Michael Blomquist, Mayor Pro Tem. Mark, for this, first off, thank you for all the work you've done putting this together and in the very thorough with coverage that we had during the workshop. For the motion tonight, are you wanting us to appoint this individual tonight, or is that something that's going to come back to us at a later time?
Yes, sir. This is Mark Hyde, Public Works Director. Yes, we would like you to go ahead and appoint those this evening. We have a pretty tight schedule as far as the impact fee meetings. We have several meetings already scheduled for this month. Unless the City Council has a different candidate, that would be fine. We can wait if we need to.
No, we can do it tonight. I just want to make sure how we put it into the wording. So that's what wasn't clear there. So thank you.
Okay, Councilmember McCann.
Thank you. Comment question, but I do see the benefit of having somebody from real estate, but more benefit so, I think, coming from a builder or a developer. I just want to kind of put that out there before everybody gets chosen, or even just the Builders Association, because they've gone through this a lot with City of Killeen, the association has, and they've had numerous workshops and a lot of participation regarding the impact fees through the association, so that may be something we need to think about having them a part of it as well.
Yes, and Councilmember McCann, the way the local government code reads is that you can appoint the P&Z, but one of those P&Z members must be a representative of real estate development or building industries. So if we were going with the option you're suggesting, I think we would have to figure out a different route.
Okay, Mr. Mitchell.
Mark, I think the way we could include the home builders, though, is when the impact fee committee meets, I believe we could invite them to participate in those discussions, correct?
Certainly.
So I think that would probably answer that, having them involved in the discussions?
I think they should. It's imperative that they're involved.
Okay.
So.
Okay. Well, we can do that. We'll just make sure we make that a personal invite to them to have them attend when the committee meets.
Okay. Councilmember McCann, you satisfied with everything? Okay. Councilmember Fontaine?
I'm good, Mayor. It was taken care
of. Okay. Any other questions from the council? Okay, this is Mayor Smith. Have we spoken with Mr. Hawksworth?
Yes, sir. The city manager has.
Okay, and Mr. Shine as well?
Well, Mr. Shine is on the B&amp;Z.
I know, but have you still talked to him about it, if he's willing to do it?
Not at this moment.
Okay. Well, I didn't know whether we'd run in one of those if, you know, nominated will not run, if elected will not serve, so I just want to make sure we don't hit that. Okay, thank you. Okay, any other questions for Mr. Hyde? Okay, hearing none, it's new business. Do I have a motion? Mayor Pro Tem Blomquist.
Thank you, Mayor. This is Michael Blomquist, Mayor Pro Tem. I'd like to make a motion to approve a resolution creating the Capital Improvements Advisory Committee and setting forth the rules for and the duties thereof, all in compliance with the impact fee statutes found in Chapter 395 of the Local Government Code. And we'd also make the motion to approve Mr. Bobby Hawksworth to be appointed as the Harker Heights Planning, as the representative of the real estate development or building industries from the Harker Heights extraterritorial jurisdiction to comprise of the CIAC.
Okay. Is it, Mayor, go ahead, that, Mr. Hyde.
So Mr. Hawksworth would be the member from the extraterritorial jurisdiction. Mr. Shine, who serves on the P&Z, is our, he happens to be in the real estate business, so he would serve.
So he's the extra
capacity.
Yeah, and Mayor Pro Tem Blomquist, why don't you go ahead and restate your motion.
Okay. So I make a motion to approve a resolution creating the Capital Improvements Advisory Committee and setting forth the rules for and the duties thereof, all in compliance with the impact fee statutes found in Chapter 395 of the Local Government Code, and appoint Mr. Bobby Hawksworth as the Harker Heights extraterritorial member for the board of the CIAC.
Okay, thank you. Is that clear, City
yes.
Manager and Mr. Hyde? Okay, good. Councilmember McCann.
This is Jennifer McCann, place one. Our second.
Okay, good.
Sorry.
All right, good. All right, we have a motion and a second. Any further discussion on the item?
No.
Okay, seeing none, I'll poll the council. Michael Blomquist, Mayor Pro Tem, how do you vote?
This is Michael Blomquist, Mayor Pro Tem, I vote yes.
Okay, thank you. Jennifer McCann, place one, how do you vote?
This is Jennifer McCann, place one, I vote yes.
Okay, thank you. Jacqueline Soriano Fontaine, place three, how do you vote?
This is Jacqueline Soriano Fontaine, place three, I vote yes.
Okay, thank you. Linda Nash, place four, how do you vote?
This is Linda Nash, place four, I vote yes.
Okay, thank you. Jody Nicholas, place five, how do you vote?
Jody Nicholas, place five, I vote yes.
Okay, thank you. And the motion passes unanimously, 5-2-0. Next item, item number 10, reports of advisory boards and commissions. Okay, Mayor Pro Tem Blomquist.
This is Michael Blomquist, Mayor Pro Tem. I just want to let everyone know that I will be attending the Bell County Health Board meeting on the 14th of June, so I'll have a report once that concludes. From what I understand, the interim leader is going to be the assistant that was there for the Bell County Health District Board, but we're still on the search for a permanent position for that position since Dr. Chadwell has resigned.
Okay, thank you. Anything else from the council? Any other reports from advisory boards and commissions? Okay, hearing none, we'll move on. Item 11, items from the council. Mayor Pro Tem Blomquist.
Thank you, Mayor. I just wanted to highlight some of the activities of in our city here, and there's some pictures here from our last Saturday's farmers market. We have, as you can see, lots of different vendors out there. We had a great break in the weather when the sun actually came out, and it was very pleasant. So we had fruits and vegetables out there. Vegetables sold out by the end of the event. So as you can see, there's lots of vendors out there. So I encourage everybody to come out and join us at the farmers market. I know I saw the mayor out there. I saw Jacqueline out there. I saw Linda out there. So please come out and support your local vendors here and encourage the citizens to come out and enjoy it as well. Also, this morning I did attend the Harker Heights Chamber Coffee Connection at Amy's Attic. And they periodically meet throughout the city at different local businesses, and it's just a great opportunity to meet some of the business owners here in our community and share a cup of coffee, chat with them, see what's going on. So that was a good event. And then also, I'm sure the mayor is going to talk about it, but I attended with several of my council members and the mayor, Congressman Buckley's legislative update at the DAV 29 here in Harker Heights this past Saturday as well, and it was a very good update. So I'm sure the mayor will have a little bit more on that. Thank you.
All right, thank you. Any other items from the council? Okay, hearing none, go to staff reports. Item number 12, receive and discuss the city manager's report.
Thank you, Mayor and Council. And for our citizens, there should be extra copies of the city manager's report on the small table right before you exit the double door. So please grab a copy of that. I'll just be hitting the highlights tonight. And the first thing I was going to hit on is the farmer's market. So I think Councilmember Blomquist has already hit that one out of the park. It's a great event. Please come out and take advantage of that from 8 to 12 on Saturdays. Moving on, we'll look at the Harker Heights Activity Center is hosting its flag retirement drop-off. Patrons can drop off worn American flags to be properly retired with honor and respect from now through June 14th to the Activity Center. Our senior programs, Council, I want to point out here, our senior programs are hopping again. You see there the Harker Heights Senior Recreation Program is bringing back exciting programs, and you see there a listing of some on Mondays, Thursdays, and Fridays, as well as the Senior Recreation Program is bringing back paper projects. Learn how to make a unique craft using just paper. That's Thursday, June 17th from 9 a.m. to 12. The Senior Recreation Program members can try their luck at Summer Bingo. That will be Thursday, June 24th from 1 p.m. to 2:30 p.m. at the Harker Heights Activity Center. As well as you see there at the bottom that there's a Mosaic Garden Steak Craft Kit that they can register for. Moving to our library, Council, you're very aware you do have a little brochure there in front of you about the Cowabunga Read Summer Reading Club opening party, and that will be Wednesday, June the 9th from 10 a.m. until 8 p.m. So Lisa and them, I know, have lots of cool things going with that. Your page 4 there, Council, you will see that the library never slows down, which we all know. Virtual programs all summer long, and there's a listing of those programs there. Do want to point out, going to page 6, Council, under Parks and Recreation, our Carlevin Park Outdoor Pool is open for reduced open swim hours. That will be Friday through Saturday. Our, of course, youth t-ball, softball, and baseball games are ongoing when weather allows, since we're now tropical Texas. Youth volleyball practices begin this week. July is Parks and Recreation Month. And the Carlevin Park Native Pocket Prairie is in full bloom, so stop by and see native pollinator species that are helping to keep the monarch and bee populations thriving in our area. And our open gym times for basketball and pickleball have reopened. Council, I want to point out that staff needs you to let us know, particularly Adam, in this case, by this Friday, if you want to participate in the Belton 4th of July parade. Council, there in front of you, you do have some additional flyers I want to point out. You have one, both events will be occurring really at the same time there at the Activity Center. You have the Harker Heights Fire Department promotion ceremony, and there's a listing of those that will be promoted. That will be on June 11th at 4 p.m., as well as a retirement ceremony for Martin Mercado. Council, I also want to point out you do have another additional flyer there. Conducting effective meetings, and that is something that's been something that Council has brought to us on numerous occasions, as well as members of the boards and commissions wanting additional trainings. And so you will see our own attorney Charles D. Olson will be coming to put on that training, and we're going to have all the city's committees and commissions, the library board, P&Z, ZBA. He'll be going over things like open meetings, Robert's Rules of Order, those kind of things, in particular drilling down into ZBA to help them understand what is a hardship, what is not a hardship, those kind of things, and the legality of them. Again, ZBA is a quasi-judicial board, which is a little different than the other boards we have. So he'll kind of drill down into some of those things to help educate those boards and commissions. So that will be Thursday, July 15th, 5:30 p.m. to 6:30 p.m. Of course, we'd love the council to attend that, but we'll also be getting that out to the directors so they can make sure all their board members are aware and get them here. And we're going to make sure we can film it. We're hoping that that won't be an issue. That way, we do have some turnover on these boards. At least we'd have a video of those presentations that we could share with new board members when they come on, just to educate them on those things. And that concludes my presentation, Mayor. I'd be happy to answer any questions that you have.
Any questions for the city manager? Okay, seeing none, we'll move on to announcements. And just a few items from the mayor. I want to thank Mayor Pro Tem Blomquist for chairing the workshop on June 1st during my unplanned trip to Dallas. So I like Dallas, but I don't like it a whole lot. So it cost me too much money. So on June the 5th, as Mayor Pro Tem Blomquist mentioned, attended the DAV 29 Harkites meeting. Councilmember Fontaine and her husband were there, and Councilmember Nash was there as well. And it was really a good presentation where our representative Brad Buckley was able to give us an update on what had happened legislatively, but also to give us an idea what's still going to go on. Even though the session's over, their work still continues. And again, he explained why the disabled veterans exemption, on why we're not be able to be participate in the monies that are out there to help people that are adversely affected by that legislation. So maybe looking for a different angle to go at, but he shared with us all the efforts that he did, especially being the vice chairman of the Defense and Veterans Affairs Committee, the positivity, the things that came out of the House. Also mentioned as far as Senator Buckingham that she was a member of the conference committee between the Senate and the House, and they still were not able to get that thing across the goal line. But again, that still is our number one item that we need to get that rectified, because it has significant implications for our city as we go forth, as the you know, a lot of Texas experiences drought. You know, we're experiencing that as far as fiscally, because our revenue stream is drying out slowly. So June the 5th, that was a good good meeting. A lot of wonderful folks down there. They're very active in our community. The leadership at DEV 29, and there are a lot of people from other communities. And that's another plus that we have for our city, that we have something like DAV 29 in Harker Heights. Again, got to see Mayor Pro Tem Blomquist and others at the farmer's market, and it's a good place to spend your money. And June the 7th, attended a transportation planning meeting with city staff. On June the 7th, also attended a meeting with County Judge David Blackburn and the commissioners in Belton, as long as, along with the city manager and the mayor and city manager of Killeen. And then on the 7th as well, attended the Harker Heights Pet Adoption Fundraiser at Chipotle restaurant in Market Heights. My first experience eating the food there, so it was good. And hopefully we had some, I think you said how much we got, over $500 for that?
Yes, sir, over about $530.
Okay, that's good. So that goes to the Pet Adoption Center. Okay, that's all from the mayor. And so the time is 6:02, and we're adjourned.